All right, guys, we're going to talk about the present time and end times. And we're going to look at specifically what Jesus taught about it. We're also going to look at what Paul says in the end about what it's going to be like right now. But before we start and looking exactly what Jesus is saying in Matthew 24, I want to talk about Israel. Because, as I mentioned last week, if you're going to talk about the end times, you have to make a decision about Israel. And when we talk about Israel, we're talking about the Jewish people. And right now, they're represented by a nation. So the question is, who do we support? Well, I'm going to read you an interesting passage so that you understand Paul's perspective. And this has been the perspective of everything that's going on right now. And then we'll help you to understand. In Romans chapter 11, verse 25, he says this, and this is to humble the Gentiles. He wants to humble the Gentiles with their understanding. Because, for instance, as Gentiles, we can be pretty arrogant because we have the gospel, and they don't. But listen to what he says. Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. So this is a mystery. This is what's going on right now. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in that way, all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion, and he will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As regards the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. All right, so let me explain to you what it's saying there so we understand. So he doesn't want us to be arrogant, because sometimes the church can be arrogant about we have the gospel, and it's historically Gentiles have been arrogant. He's saying, don't be arrogant. I want you to understand what's going on. What's going on right now, when you look at Israel, he says there is a partial hardening, or we could even say a partial blindness that's taking place. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, would everybody agree that most of the Jewish people do not recognize Jesus as the Messiah? Would everybody agree with that? You would say, yeah, but there are some, yes, some, very few, but some. That's why he says a partial hardening. And that's the way it's been for 2,000 years. How long will that be? And it says right there, until the fullness of the Gentiles. Now, what in the world does that mean, George? Well, that word fullness actually should be translated full number. Until the full number of the Gentiles. Now, what do you think that means? They're going to be hardened until the full number of the Gentiles. Okay, did you hear what? That's exactly right, Bruce. They're going to be hardened up until the time that the number of Gentiles who are to be saved will be saved. Now, we already know, some of us should know, that during the tribulation, will there be Gentiles getting saved? And so their opening is not going to take place until when? The end of the tribulation. So right now, this theologically is known as, we are living in the age of the Gentiles. Gentiles are the ones who are dominating, but it is during this time that the gospel is going out to everyone. So what it's saying here, though, is he's pointing out, when you get to verse 28, he says, as regards the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. So right now, is Israel your enemy? Yes. Technically, yes. And if you were to be practical with them, if we were to go to Israel right now and you mentioned you're a Christian, you are their enemy. Do you understand that? Well, we support them. I understand. I don't care what you're doing here. I want you to understand how they see it. You're their enemy. How do I know that? Because right now, there are persecution of believers in Israel by the government, by the people. Now, it's not out there because it doesn't look good when you need the support of somebody else to have your existence. Do you understand? That's just the way it is. That's the way it's always been. Paul says, for the gospel's sake, there are enemies. However, he stops, meaning you can't look at it just right now in one instant. Christians have to have a bigger viewpoint, which is the viewpoint that Paul has. But for election, now whose election? Meaning God's choice, but for election, they are what? Look at what the text says. The text says this. But with regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. Now, what do you think that means? Okay, so they are loved by God. They may be our enemies, but the reality is it doesn't change who they are. And who are they? They are God's chosen people, the apple of his eye, and he wants to fulfill the promises that he made to who? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you understand? They have a destiny. Now, you have to understand that point when it comes to the whole issue of eschatology. Eschatology is not, end times isn't the story of you or what you think or what America happens or whatever. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's not the story. The story is the fulfillment of God's promises to a people. Do you understand? And it will be fulfilled according to Zechariah at the very end when he comes back. And Revelation tells us that. So you've got to understand, this isn't about us. It's about them. Now, what does that mean for us? Well, should you agree with everything Israel does and say, okay, I support them no matter what, even if it's wrong? No, not necessarily. So, for instance, do I support everything the Borough Council here in Kerwinsville does? No, sometimes I think their decisions are pretty dumb. But do I have to go along with it? Yeah. Here, that's a little bit more practical. Are you happy with everything your children decide to do? No. No. In fact, if you were honest and real, you would say, no, there's a lot of things they do I don't agree with. But you still what? Support them and love them. Christians have to be the same way. I don't have to agree with everything they're doing. And in a lot of things they're doing on the news, we're like, man, how in the world? You know, but that doesn't change the fact that you still need to support who? The people. Because they're chosen by who? By God. Do you understand? So that's helping us to understand what we're moving to. All right, now let's talk about what we are right now. Let's talk about what Jesus said right now, because sometimes people look at right now and they'll say, he's coming back, we're in the tribulation, this is it. Really? Really? Are you sure? Let's look at what Jesus said. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 24. Let's focus, first of all, on the first three verses. Let's take a look. Jesus left the temple and was going away, and when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple, but he answered them, you see all these things, do you not? Truly, I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Okay, so let's take a look at this. We're going to start off here with talking about national pride. That's really what the issue is here. Whose national pride? Israel's. So let's take a look. Reflecting on national pride, a disciple points out the beauty of the temple to Jesus. That's only natural, right? You have somebody who's patriotic, They're in Jerusalem. Herod's temple, to be honest with you, that's the temple they're talking about, the second temple. Herod's temple wasn't as grand as Solomon's temple, but it still was grand. It was a fabulous structure. And it was a source of pride for all Jews. And so one of the disciples says, "Hey, Jesus, what do you think? Look at how fabulous this looks." So national pride. Disciples point out to Jesus the temple. Now look at how he responds. How he responds is not the way we would expect it to be. We would expect, "Yeah, isn't that great?" But that's not what he says. Jesus bluntly points out that these buildings will be completely torn down. They're going to be gone. What do you think the reaction is to that? If you're the disciple who's saying, "Look at this, Jesus, look how awesome it is. Aren't we great as the Jewish people?" And Jesus says, "It's all going to be torn down." How would you respond? Denny, you were saying?
The pride's
going to
go out the door.
What else? What else do you think's going on? How do you react if you just built something in your house or redid a room, and somebody comes along and so you're showing it off to them? "Look at how we redid this room. We refurbished this room. Isn't it great? Look at the carpet. Look at the walls. Look at the paint I picked out. Look at the windows, the windowsills. Isn't it awesome?" And somebody says, "Yeah, in about 10 years, you'll be wanting to do it again." Yeah, and so Jesus is saying, okay, you would be angry. Yeah, but the reality is Jesus is saying, this nothing's here. What do you think the lesson is for us? Yeah, but what about for Christians? What do you think the lesson is for us? Because the reality is, like, for instance, I hear a lot today in Christendom about standing up for the nation and big taking pride in the nation and everything. And I'm a patriotic guy too. I come from a long line of soldiers. The reality is I've got a son who's in the military. I'm patriotic, but I want you to listen to me. If you are a Christian, what should be your priority? Is it the nation? Yes. Okay, and so should we not have patriotic pride? Yeah, you can have patriotic pride, you should. But when you talk about priority, so for instance, when I buy a new vehicle, I really like a new vehicle. But then 10 years later, if I'm still, probably will still be driving it 10 years later, it's not going to look like the new vehicle anymore, because I know that when I bought it, that it's gradually going to what? Deteriorate, right? Should Christians, do we have an understanding that things are going to get better? Are things going to get better? At the end, but now in this world. Yeah, now there are some Christian denominations that'll say to you, "Yes, we're going to make it better," or whatever. No, there is no making it better, because the problem is we're dealing with what people? Sinful people. Sinful people who are rebelling against God, and so ultimately things go bad. Now, does that mean we can't do anything about it? I didn't say that. I'm saying you got to have a perspective that what you believe in isn't going to be the same anymore. Which, by the way, don't we know that already? Don't we know that already? I mean, the 80s were great, weren't they? But we're not in the 80s anymore, are they? Are we? No. No, not at all. You know, my parents thought the 60s were great. I don't know why, but they did. Do you know what I'm saying? But they thought it was great. The reality is the thinking is, the reason I want you to understand that is, Jesus is saying, this stuff isn't going to be here. And if history bears it out, if it's another 200 years before Jesus comes, I'm going to tell you, there may not be an America in 200 years. How do you know that, George? History. Most nations don't last past 300. Do you understand? And they don't just get oppressed by somebody from the outside. Well, somebody's going to have to take us out. No, no. Mostly they deteriorate from where? From the inside out. Okay, so here's what I'm trying to say to you. Jesus is wanting them to get their perspective. This is what's going to happen. These things aren't going to be here anymore. It's going to be completely torn down. All right, let's go on. Of course, this raises questions. We'd raise questions for you too, right? So while Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, he was approached privately by the disciples. So again, they're going to talk to him privately. It's not like something you want to talk about out loud. The disciples wanted to know when this event will take place and what will be the sign. Now, I want you to listen to me. When you look at the verse and it says, what is the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Don't put the two together. Because what they're talking about with regards to the coming isn't the second coming. Now, we look at it and say the second coming, but they're not. Why? In Matthew's Gospels, the disciples asked Jesus concerning the sign of his coming and the end of the age. While they believe that the Messiah's coming brings the end, they are not referring to the second coming. Why? Because in their experience, there wasn't even a first coming that they know of. Well, there was a first coming. That was Jesus coming in human flesh. But they don't know that. Meaning, when they talk about the coming, they're talking about the revelation of the Messiah. That's what they're looking for. And then they add to it the end. What are going to be the things about the end? Now, I see some confusion. Well, they believed he was, but he hadn't revealed himself yet. Has there been anywhere so far in the Gospels that he said, I'm the Messiah? Well, he's talked about his relationship with the Father, yes, but has he said to them, I'm the one? Has he said, I'm here, this is me? Even when he came triumphantly on a donkey in a triumphant entry, did he say, I'm it? No, he didn't reveal himself to them. Even when he rose from the dead, did he present himself at the temple? I'm alive, I'm it. Did he do that? No. No, what I'm saying is in their mind, because here's what they're thinking. You got to remember their mindset. Their mindset is when the Messiah comes, he's going to conquer the Romans and reestablish what? Israel in all of its glory, fulfilling all of the promises that they have been holding on to. Did he do any of that? No, not at all. Do you see what I'm saying? Does that mean he's not the Messiah? No, his first coming differed from what his second coming is. So in their mind, they can't even think of a second coming. They're still waiting for the Messiah to show up. Even though he's there and they know he's the Christ, or they're assuming he's the Christ, but they don't completely believe some of them. Do you understand?
So were they ever saved
then? Yes, the disciples except for Judas. Yes, we know that. Okay, but we're talking about in his ministry here. Okay. So the reality is, this is right before the cross. This is before the cross, Tim. And the reality is, they're just thinking in terms of him showing up because they think when he comes, according to the scripture, like Zechariah, he's coming and he's setting things right. Okay, but he's coming and he's not setting things right that they think of. Do you understand? Is there some confusion? Yes. Okay.
I think that they thought he was the Messiah. Maybe they weren't completely sure he was the Messiah.
Yes.
And then when he was killed, they're like, he could be the Messiah. They only thought he was coming once.
Yes. So
they didn't think he was coming once and then again, once to die for our sins.
Yeah.
And then again, to take us.
Okay. Your point is valid, Bruce. And I would add to it, they may think that he's the Messiah, but he hasn't acted yet the way they think the Messiah should act. Okay, because Jesus says, I'm going to the cross, I'm going to die.
Right.
And Peter says, stop! No, that's not right. And what does Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. Why? Because in his mind, the Messiah is going to show himself.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. And take
yes. Yes. Now, so what I'm trying to say to you here is in their mind, when they talk about the coming, they're not talking about the second coming. We look at it and we realize it's about the second coming because it's the end. Okay, let's go on. Here's what Matthew, the next section, here's what the present time will be like. Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name saying, 'I'm the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of birth pains." All these are but the beginning of birth pains. Okay, here's what I want you to see. First of all, Jesus tells his disciples to make sure that they do not allow others to lead them astray. What are they supposed to be? How would they be led astray? What do you think? He kind of tells us here in the passage, but you need to make sure that you are not led astray right now. How? How would that happen? Okay, well, but with regards, okay, that's good, Tim, but let's talk about who's he focused on here. In the next verse, he says, there will be many who will come and say they are who? Messiah. Now, what were you going to say, John? Yes, there are other people who are going to claim to be God. Now, I've only been alive 60 years, but I can tell you in my 60 years, as I think about it, throughout the world, there have been people who have shown up and said they are who? Jesus. Some of them have been Americans. Now, we're all old enough here, I think we're all old enough, to remember Jim Jones in Guyana. He was a Nazarene minister who went off the deep end, started his own cult. He claimed to be who? Jesus, God. Took a bunch of people with him down to South America, to Guyana, and that's where we get this slogan, "Did you drink the Kool-Aid?" That forever changed our, you know, are you drinking the Kool-Aid? And the fact is he killed all those people, including himself, by drinking Kool-Aid. Now, that guy said he was God. Here's another one. Maybe you haven't heard the name in a while. Sun Myung Moon. Who did he claim to be? The Messiah. That was part of the Unification Church. Now, they never came here. Oh, yeah, they did. Don't you remember if you were in a city seeing somebody standing on a street corner selling flowers? Years ago, that happened in the 80s and the 90s. Who were they? Moonies. You ever heard of a Moonie? And they were getting money for their Messiah. The Unification Church is what he was. He was the Messiah. There have been other guys, still are, throughout Africa, Asia, South America, even here in the U.S., who claim they are Jesus. So don't be led astray. The thing is, most people end up getting led astray. Jesus is warning us here. Don't let that happen. So here's what I want you to see. The emphasis of the instruction is the need for disciples to be proactive in this area. You need to be proactive in this area. How can you be proactive in this area? If you're going to guard against deception, how can you be proactive? Be in your Bible. What did you say? Okay, Bruce said the same thing. Be in your Bible. Can that really take place right here in Clearfield County? Oh, you better believe it. You can have a whole bunch of people. I've met people. And see, what the thing is, you got to be careful. Some of the cults have started, like for instance, Seventh-day Adventists. They believe that Jesus returned spiritually, not physically. You've got to remember, if you know the scripture, Jesus comes back what? Physically, not spiritually. Yeah, there's some people. So you got to guard yourself. Guard yourself against that. But how do you do that? Like it was mentioned by Tammy and by Bruce, you got to be in the Word. Now, here's what I want you to see. Jesus points out many will come in his name and claim to be Messiah. These false messiahs will lead many people astray. And you'd be shocked. It's like, man, open your eyes. But here's the thing. If you're already blinded by who, anything's going to make sense, right? Now, let's talk about wars. Here's one I hear all the time. We're there now because there's the wars that are going on. There's never been this many wars before. Actually, there have. You just didn't hear about it. The fact is, we live in a media-saturated world where you're hearing about everything. If you think about it, did you hear about everything in the 80s or the 70s or even the 90s? No. Well, I had CNN, 24-hour headline news. I understand, but most people didn't watch that. Do you understand? I remember growing up, the only time you had news was at 6 o'clock local news, 6:30 with Walter Cronkite. And then I didn't stay up because I wasn't allowed to. My dad would stay up at 11 o'clock and watch the news again. That was the only time. Now, all right, so here it is. Talk about wars. Jesus stresses that they will hear of wars and rumors of possible wars. Do you realize that all of human history, we only know of 4 years, 4 years in all of human recorded history that there were no wars? Huh? Long time ago. But think about that. Isn't that amazing? We've always had wars. And wars are going to continually be around. Let's go on. He called his disciples not to be alarmed by this reality. Don't be shaken up by this. Don't be shaken up. The reality of wars must take place, but it does not mean that the end has come. So right now, we're seeing a lot of stuff happening. Ukraine, Iran, threats of wars with Taiwan. We've got wars in the Sudan. We've got wars in other places around the world. We hear all of this stuff. There's wars going on that you don't even know about. And the fact of the matter is that does not mean the end has come. That's what Jesus is saying. What does that mean? Humanity is wicked. That's what it means. All right. Jesus stresses that nation and kingdoms will come against each other. Nations and kingdoms. Now, let me just stop for a moment. Nations here does not mean like we think of nations today, with borders. Nations here is actually ethnos, ethnic, ethnicities. It's tribes going against each other. Not necessarily borders. It's talking about peoples coming against peoples. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay? Just wanting you to be aware of that. And that happens even in nations today. They call them civil wars. If you look at African nations, oftentimes what's known as a civil war there is one tribe going after another tribe. Okay? Rwanda, that was happening in Rwanda with their genocide and so forth. All right, here's another one. Natural disasters. Natural disasters. Jesus points out that there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Have you paid attention to the news lately? What happened this week? 2 different places around the world. What did they experience? Earthquakes, huge earthquakes, lots of people dead. Earthquakes are happening all the time. You know, they happen here too. I don't know if you know that. We've had earthquakes here in our area. Now, it didn't crash a building down, but you could say, wow, what was that? That was more than my stomach grumbling. What was that? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, so there will be famines. What are famines? Well, not just hunger, but situations where there's no food. Do you realize we're getting ready to have that again because of a weather system that happens periodically called El Nino? El Nino causes an increase in temperatures. It happens periodically every few years. It's a water thing that happens in the Pacific Ocean. And usually the last time it happened, I was listening to talking about one nation, they lost their whole crop. And the reality, that's a natural disaster. Those things happen. Things like that happen. Here's the other one. Luke 22:11, Jesus states that there will be pestilence in various areas. So when you look at what Luke says about this, he says there will be pestilence. Now, anybody know what pestilence is? Sickness, yeah. Oh, by the way, did you know right now there is a major disease right now in Africa? Thousands are dying. Anybody know what that is? Ebola. Right now, there are travel restrictions. Our government has travel. Europeans have it. A lot of countries are restricting people from that area so that they don't bring it somewhere else. But that's part of life, right? Really? Yeah. We tend to forget history, even in our own community. So anybody know what happened 100 years ago in our community? Anybody? Spanish flu, 100 years ago. Do you realize how many people it killed? Here in Kerwinsville. Not to mention Clearfield or whatever. Lots. How do we know that? If you go up to the Oak Hill Cemetery, you'll find there is a field that they keep mowed. But there's no marker there. And that field is kept mowed by the cemetery because it bears the graves of the residents of Kerwinsville who died from the Spanish flu 100 years ago, and they buried them in a mass grave. Yeah, so it's just 100 years ago. Do you see what I'm saying? So the reality is pestilence is a part of it. Now, people during that time was like, Jesus must be coming back. Think about the Black Plague in Europe, the bubonic plague, where it wiped out literally 2 or 3 out of 5 people. Do you think those people thought Jesus was coming back then with that much death? But that Jesus is saying there will be pestilence in various places. Here else, let's talk about else. According to Luke, Jesus also stated there will be terrors and signs in heaven. So there'll be weird things happening in the heavens. Weird things. Now, what does that mean? He didn't say. But that's all part of the times. Let's go on. Surprisingly, Jesus points out that these are simply the beginning of birth pains. Anybody know what birth pains are? Most dudes don't. I'd say all dudes don't. Yeah, we're okay too. Yes, okay. Ladies, what are birth pains? Contractions, right? Now, I remember my wife carried 4 of our children. Okay. And before she had the real contractions, she had a series of contractions. I think the technical name for it is Braxton Hicks. Braxton Hicks contractions, but they also used to be known as false contractions. Anybody know what were those called? Why did they have those? They were preparing what for what? Preparing the mother's body for the actual birth process. Those are the birth pangs. So Jesus is saying, if he was technical with today's language and being medically correct, he would say these are the Braxton Hicks contractions of the real thing coming. So the reality is, so what does that mean? So when we look at all the crazy stuff that's happening in our world, folks, it is only just the preparation for what's coming, which is going to be so much more worse than what we're going through right now. So much more worse. Now, here's the thing, though. Boy, I hope I don't have to go through that. You're not going to, because before that starts, the period of that judgment starts, are you going to be here? No, because of what? The resurrection, the rapture that's going to take place. We don't have to go through that judgment. How do you know that? Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, he promises the church at Philadelphia that he will spare them from the hour of trial that is to come. That is a reference to the rapture, the resurrection. He'll spare them from the judgment that is to come. Now, birth pangs are the false contractions that a pregnant woman experiences before labor. So Jesus is simply stating that these things are not the events of the end. Okay, but we got one more passage, real quick. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its powers. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into household and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning, never able to arrive at the knowledge of truth. But as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose truth, men corrupt in their mind and disqualified regarding the faith, but they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of these two men. Now you might be saying, who in the world is Jannes and Jambres? I read through the Old Testament, I never saw their names. Well, Paul is referring to the magicians in Pharaoh's court. That's what he's referring there to. Now, what I want you to see here. Paul points out that people will become selfish and continue in sin. So when we read through that whole list of stuff there, you guys see that? It's everywhere, right? Just turn on the TV, turn on the radio, watch people at Sheetz, watch people at Walmart. Do you know what I'm saying? Just watch people in general. Interact with people. You're going to see the same list of stuff going on with everybody. That's the way people are right now. He warns believers to what? Avoid them. Stay away from them. What do you mean, George? We might as well live on another planet. You know, but here's the thing. You don't need to hang out with them all the time, because if you do, what ultimately happens? Yeah, you get corrupted. They're not going to change, but they'll change you. They'll change you. All right, this is the way things are right now. Does this mean Jesus is coming back right now? Yes, that he could come back at any time. But the fact of the matter is that he's going to lay out for us, and Jesus does that the rest of 24. There's going to be some things that have to take place during the next period. But in this period right now, it is not saying that Jesus is coming back right now. This is just the stuff we have to go through.